Pastor Study. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today for the Pastor Study. It's just a blessing, and I consider it an honor and a privilege to be able to come to you today with God's Word. If you've been with me for any period of time, you know that we've been doing a series of studies on what does the Bible have to say about speaking in tongues. And last time we were together, we were looking at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, amen, and how the Pentecostals and Charismatics talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to continue in that light and talking about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And of course, we saw last time that the moment, the instant a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're baptized by the Holy Spirit of God into the body of Christ. And of course, the Charismatics and Pentecostals will teach that it comes after you get saved, and the evidence of you getting saved is speaking in tongues, amen, or some kind of a gibberish, amen. Now, the reason that the Pentecostals teach the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes sometime after you get saved is because the apostles believed on Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry. However, they did not receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit until Acts chapter 2. The Pentecostals will say, see there, the apostles got saved over there in the Gospels. Then they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2 and spoke in tongues. This is true, however, no one could get the baptism of the Holy Spirit until Acts chapter 2. You will find that in Matthew 3, notice what it says in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist says in verse 11 of Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So no one is getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the Gospels. Look at what Jesus Christ says. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, just before his ascension up into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus says in verse number 5, he says, For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So we see, and of course he was talking about the day of Pentecost. So no one had the baptism of the Holy Ghost until Acts chapter 2. Now, after Acts chapter 2, you did not have to wait on receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You received it when you believed. Amen? Again, let's go to Galatians chapter 3. We looked at Galatians chapter 3, but I want us to go there again. And in Galatians chapter 3, in verses 26 and 27. You know, there are some that will teach that we're all children of God, amen? But that's not true according to the Word of God. Notice in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 with me. For ye are all the children of God, Paul tells us. How? By faith in Christ Jesus. So the moment, the instant a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, they become a child of God. When they place their faith in Jesus Christ to save them from going to a literal burning hell for their sins, then they become a child of God. Until a person does that, they're not a child of God. Now in verse 27 of Galatians chapter 3, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So an individual who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment they do that, they are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Amen? Now, I know what the Pentecostals will say. What they'll do is they'll run you to Acts chapter 19 and show, and that's another problem, and we'll look at that later on. Amen? We're going to deal with that later on. I'll discuss Acts chapter 19 later on in our study. Now, let's deal with some problem passages. We have already handled Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 is a Jewish passage to Jewish apostles dealing with a Jewish ministry to a Jewish nation. The signs and wonders were to confirm the message to the Jews to get them to believe on Jesus Christ as the King. Why? So God could bring in the kingdom. Now, when did God ever come to you or I and try to convict you that Jesus Christ was the King, and if you would believe on him, God would bring in the kingdom? Never did. Because that is not the gospel for the age that you and I are living in right now. Amen? The gospel that you and I believe in is specifically laid out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verses 1 through 4. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at verses 1 through 4. And this is the gospel. Amen. The gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ, it's the power of God unto salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Paul speaking here. By which also ye are saved. So this is the gospel that saves you. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. This is the death, verse 4, and that he was buried. There's the burial, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There's the resurrection. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. That is the gospel, the grace of God. That is the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Amen. Now, again, this gospel is the gospel of the grace of God, that Christ died according to the Scriptures, he was buried, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If you believe that gospel, then you will be born again, have your sins forgiven, and you will be washed and put in to the body of Christ. You are not going to get into any kingdom except for the spiritual kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is not going to come if you receive Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven would have come if the Jews accepted Christ in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. One reason you know that is in Acts chapter 3, in verse 19, the Apostle Peter says, let's look at Acts chapter 3 with me, in verse number 19, in Acts 3, verse 19. In Acts 3, 19, the Apostle Peter is speaking, and in verse 19 of Acts 3, Peter says, "Repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And that times of refreshing is a reference to the millennium, the second coming, the thousand-year reign, literal physical reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on the throne of David in Jerusalem. Now, I'm not waiting until the second coming to get my sins blotted out, because they're already blotted out. All the handwriting of the ordinances were blotted out on Calvary for me, because I am saved under the gospel of the grace of God, not under the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. We're commanded in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, amen, to study to shew thyself approved, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to make a distinction between the gospel of the kingdom, which was to the nation of Israel, and the gospel of the grace of God, which is now to the Gentile nations. Amen? Now, if you've not figured out Romans 11, then you haven't figured out that God has set aside the Jew temporarily because they rejected the gospel of the kingdom, and now has revealed the gospel of the grace of God to the Apostle Paul and is dealing with the Gentile nations. Now, the reason people don't know whether they're coming or going when it comes to the Bible, it's because they do not rightly divide the Word of truth, the Word of God, the Holy Bible. Yet here's a passage, amen, as we're talking about what does the Bible have to say about speaking in tongues. Here's a passage that the Pentecostals and Charismatics will give you, Acts chapter 2. Now in Acts chapter 2, let's go to Acts chapter 2, and let's look at verse number 1. Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now I want you to notice it says they were in one accord. One accord. They were in unity and harmony of one spirit. This is not true of any Pentecostal. They're not in one accord. One church believes one thing, another church believes something else. The Pentecostals do not have accord on what they believe. Some believe that you get tongues when you get saved. Some believe that you get tongues after you are saved. Some believe one thing about salvation. Some believe something else about salvation. You have Orthodox Pentecostals that believe in tongues. You have Church of God people who believe in tongues. You have Catholics that believe in tongues. You have Presbyterians that believe in tongues. You have Episcopalians that believe in tongues. They may all believe in tongues, but outside of that, they do not have accord. Do you know why? Because God is not the author of confusion. You see, early in the book of Acts, everyone had the same doctrine. Not only did they have tongues, but they had the same doctrine. And it was the apostles' doctrine. Look in Acts chapter 2 again in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Do you know why? Because God was behind that thing. That's right. God not only manifested himself through the apostles speaking in tongues and working miracles, but also in their doctrine. Everyone was in one accord and believed the same thing. Amen. Now, the very fact that the charismatic movement is subdivided and split into numerous camps shows you and I that the movement is not of God. Again, I cannot stress it enough, God is not the author of confusion according to the Word of God. The only thing that they have in common is speaking in tongues. And this is contrary to how it was in the book of Acts. Pentecostals do not have the accord that the apostles and disciples had in the early part of the book of Acts. Do you know why? Because God is not in it or behind it like he was in the early part of the book of Acts. It's as simple as that. Now, let's turn our attention back to Acts chapter 2, and let's look at verses 2 and 3. So we know that they were in one place, they're in one accord at the day of Pentecost, they being the apostles now. Now, that's in verse 1. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. And it was as of a mighty rushing wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire. It wasn't fire, but it was like fire. its manifestation look, it was like fire, but it wasn't actual fire, and sat upon each of them. Notice it says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues. Cloven meaning or split. Notice it is singular. So it split, and each one sat upon each of them. Verse 4. And they, meaning the apostles, were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we know it's just the apostles speaking in tongues. See verse 7 of Acts 2. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? In reference to the apostles, amen. Are not all these which speak Galileans? So we see that it's just the apostles that are speaking in tongues. Amen. And then we see in verse 43, it says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And of course, speaking in tongues is a sign. So the apostles in Acts chapter 2 were the only ones speaking in tongues. The signs and wonders in the book of Acts, in the main, are done or worked by the apostles. Do you know why? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, says that signs and wonders are the credentials of an apostle. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 with me. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So we see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, says that signs and wonders are the credentials of an apostle. They're apostolic, they are Jewish, and they are for the purpose to get the nation of Israel to believe. The reason God started the Apostle Paul out with signs and wonders is very evident. When he first started his ministry, who was it primarily to? The Jew. Remember in Romans chapter 1, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul wrote to the believers at Rome. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, here it comes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, or the Gentile, amen? But we see as Paul's ministry got further and further away from the nation of Israel, and was more and more toward the Gentile, he could work miracles less and less. The reason we know this is because by the time that he gets around to writing to Timothy, he can't heal Timothy. But what's interesting, Paul was able to heal people just from his handkerchiefs. Look in Acts chapter 19 for a moment. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. In verses 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought under the sick, handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. So they were taking handkerchiefs or aprons from the Apostle Paul to those who were sick and were possessed with evil spirits, and they were healed. Amen. And the evil spirits came out of the person. Amen. Now, if Timothy had had a stomach ache around the time of Acts chapter 19, then Paul would have said, go pray with my hanky, amen, and it will heal you. Because that's what was going on in Acts 19. But when you get to the book of Timothy, which is probably the last letters that Paul wrote, Timothy tells Paul, "Paul, I need to be healed. I have a bad tummy ache." But notice what Paul tells him. If you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5 with me, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, in verse 23, he tells Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities." See, Paul at the time didn't have that gift of healing anymore. Or he could have sent him a handkerchief or apron, and Timothy would have been healed of that stomach ailment. But he's saying to take some medicine, take a little wine for your stomach, amen. So we see that, you know, he couldn't heal him. The sign gifts that Paul had now that he was, at that time, when he wrote to Timothy, his ministry now was mainly to the Gentile. So he no longer had that gift of healing. He started to fall off. Not only that, but notice what it says in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 20. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 20 with me now. "Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick." Notice that he left Trophimus sick at Miletum. Why did Paul leave one of his disciples sick if he could heal? Because he lost the spiritual gift of healing. And do you know why he lost it? Because it isn't the Jew anymore that Paul is dealing with. Amen. Now, turning our attention back to Acts chapter 2, because there are three places in the book of Acts where someone speaks in tongues, and that's in Acts chapter 2 at the day of Pentecost, where the Jewish apostles speak in tongues. Amen. And of course, each time that when we see them speaking in tongues, it's a known language, amen. It may be unknown to some people, but it's certainly known to some other people, amen. And we talked about the meaning of the word unknown in one of our previous studies. Now, there are some things which take place, again, we're in Acts chapter 2, at this day of Pentecost, that never take place again on the day of Pentecost. And do you know what that shows you and I? That it's a very peculiar day, or a very particular day of Pentecost. You have another Pentecost mentioned in Acts chapter 20, verse 16, and none of these things take place again. Do you know what that shows you and I again? That it was a one-time event. And if you go through and look at the places tongues are spoken in Acts chapter 2, 10, and 19, none of the characteristics and none of the situations are ever the same. They are all different, and there is no consistency in them. We want to note the message of Acts chapter 2. It is the gospel of the kingdom. You cannot find the plan of salvation in Acts 2. A Church of Christ person can, a Roman Catholic can't, a Baptist, but a Baptist can't, a Bible believer can't. Because there is no salvation by grace through faith to be found in Acts chapter 2. There is no preaching of the grace of God in Acts 2. It is the preaching that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and the Jews killed their Messiah. And the proof that he was the Messiah was the fact that he came up from the grave. And that is what Acts chapter 2 says. Acts chapter 2 does not end with, "What must I do to be saved?" Acts chapter 2 ends with, "What shall we do?" Not dealing with individuals, but it's corporate, dealing with the nation of Israel, dealing with Israel as a nation. Notice, Acts chapter 2 with me, in verse 37. And of course, Peter has just preached to the Jews this day of Pentecost that they've killed their Messiah, and they need to repent of it, of killing their king, of their Messiah. And notice in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart," they were convicted, "and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What shall we do? Not individually, but as a corporate group, as a nation of Israel. And then in verse 38, Peter said unto them, "Repent." Repent of what? Killing the Messiah. As a nation, Israel had to repent of killing their Messiah and be baptized in water. That's what they, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So as a nation, they were to repent of killing the Messiah, be baptized in water, and then they will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But do you know what? Today, all a person has to do to be saved, is the saved by grace through faith, is believe that Jesus Christ died, he died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day to save them. And the moment, the instant they do that, they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Don't have to be baptized in any water, amen? Water baptism, but we see groups like the Church of Christ. And the Roman Catholics will take Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and say that you need to be baptized in water in order to be saved. And that's not true. Nowhere, the other thing I want to point out is nowhere in Acts chapter 2 does a convert speak in tongues. It is the apostles that are speaking in tongues. If we look at Acts chapter 2, in verses 1 through 4, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Again, it's the apostles speaking in tongues. In verse 6, "Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in their own language." Amen. Their own language. And then in verses 7 through 11, we see the different nations mentioned that made up the audience. The audience was made up of Jews from all these different nations that had come to Jerusalem for the feast day. And they heard their language, their known language, spoken. Amen. And we know that the audience is Jewish, because all the way through it, you'll see Peter say, "Ye men of Judea, or ye that dwell at Jerusalem, or ye men of Israel." Again, Jewish apostles speaking to Jews. Well, that's all the time we have on the Pastor Study. Till we meet again, this is Brother Gino Cassieri saying, "May God richly bless you," is my prayer, and good day.